Welcome to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. I am your host, Delaney Agresta, and I am a weight-inclusive registered dietitian. I started this podcast to help people like you heal their relationship with their bodies and food. Each week, there is a new episode that talks about different topics surrounding eating disorder recovery, diet culture, weight inclusivity, and more. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. This is your host, Eleni, and as always, I'm so grateful to have you here with me today. Today is going to be a very special episode for me, and it's something that I feel that's very close to my heart. I mean, obviously, all the things that I talk about on here are important to me, but this episode in particular just really resonated with me, and I hope that you guys feel the same way, and I hope that it kind of maybe gives you a different perspective on what it's like for those individuals who live in larger size bodies and just kind of the importance of why I really focus on the concept of fat liberation. So just a few housekeeping things before we get into the podcast and me introducing today's guest. Number one, I have been a lot more present on TikTok, if you will. I'm not sure if you guys are on TikTok. I know some of you are, but I have been really loving posting like some videos on there that I don't post on my Instagram. My TikTok handle is the same as my Instagram handle. It's all.bodies.nutrition, and it is linked in the show notes. So if you are on TikTok and want to see more of me, you can follow me there. Number two, I am still accepting applications for working with me one-on-one if you are interested in healing your relationship with food, if you need help with disordered eating or eating disorder recovery, or you are just looking for a weight-neutral way to help improve your health. I am accepting applications for patients starting next month and into the summer. So definitely go and check that out. And the application, as always, is listed in the show notes. And number three, if you like this episode, if you enjoy listening to me on the podcast, please consider giving me a 5-star review wherever you're listening to this podcast episode. It really helps me and my small business grow and allows more eyeballs to get to view the podcast and to hear it. So I just really appreciate that. So today's guest is Angel from Sacred Space for Fat Bodies on Instagram, and I believe she's also on Threads. I will link all of her social media handles in the show notes, and if you aren't already following her, please go and give her a follow. She does so much work in this space, in the liberation space, and we only talk about a few of the things that she is involved in, and she will be coming back closer to the summer to talk more about some of the other things that she does. So I'm just really excited for this episode, and let's get into it. Angel, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm so excited. I know we had like talked about recording like a while ago, and then time passed and you know, more of the apocalypse has been happening. So I'm just so glad that we are finally doing this episode, and hopefully you'll come back and we could talk about more things, because there's always so many things to talk about.
Yeah.
Can you give the listeners a little bit of an intro to you, who you are, what you do, and we'll talk about some of the organizations that you are a part of?
Golly, you know what? Intros kill me. I hate intros. I'm Angel. No. I'm Angel Austin. I am the creator and founder of Sacred Space for Fat Bodies, which originally with that organization, I set out. Well, organization is me. but it's so funny because I get messages all the time on Instagram like, do y'all meet? I'm like, there's no y'all. It's just me.
I used to think that it was a bunch of people until I got to know you, and then I knew that it was you. But I was like, because you do so much on the account.
Yeah, it's just me. But I started out, honestly, I'd say early COVID, very early COVID, before we really realized what was going on. Wanting to create a space here in my home, in the front area that's wide open, that would have been a a space where super fat plus and infinite fat people who generally are kind of cut out from being able to get self-care services in the world because of seat capacities and table capacities and things like that, and just stigma around our fat bodies, could come and get those services, could get massages and pedicures, manicures, hair color, or any type of stylistic treatments or whatever, in a environment that was created just for them, with robes that were too big for them, like wrapped sumptuous robes and all the comforts and accoutrements, what I was trying to say, that you'd get in a regular spa. But then it just got really dicey because I didn't want people coming to my house because of COVID. The people that I'd kind of been talking to about providing the services were kind of iffy about being around people. It's just, it's just been a really strange ride. So I took a pivot, took a hard pivot, and not really on purpose either, just because I wanted to like really continue on with advocacy. It was a selfish endeavor in the first place for me because I needed that in my life because I'm infinite fat. And so I just really kind of kept up with the advocacy and awareness, and just talking to people about things that they wouldn't know because they might not talk to a person in a body as large as mine on a regular basis. And really started getting heavily into providing or facilitating rather mutual aid to people who are marginalized. At that time, not so much in fat bodies, but just marginalized people in general, people, queer folks and indigenous folks, black folks, all different types of folks that were, oppressed, that, are systematically oppressed and marginalized. And then kind of took that focus, that I created a page just for that. And then on my own page, Sacred Space for Fat Bodies, started really focusing on particularly those folks in fat bodies, providing or facilitating mutual aid for those folks. And that's what I've been doing for the last few years. I think COVID, beginning of COVID up to now, I live in unceded indigenous lands, now called Austin, Texas, where I have my partner and my Rottweiler, Boomer Bronson, who is a mess. He is 3 years old. And I'm born and bred Texan, native Texan. I've been here in Austin since I was five, so I just say I'm from here. That's pretty much me in a nutshell.
I love it. Thank you. And I did not know that you live in Austin, Texas.
Do.
My sister lives in Te in Austin, which I have not
Really?
visited. I have not gotten on a plane since COVID because hashtag COVID anxiety and everything. But I hopefully will be traveling there. So I would love for us to get together. That's amazing. I had no idea. I mean, I knew that you didn't live like near New York where I live, but I guess I just didn't really think about it. But that's so interesting. That's so fun. I love it. Yeah. My mom was just visiting for like the Catholic Easter break. She's a teacher, and so she was with my sister and they went like line dancing and like,
I bet they did. There's plenty over here. Do you know what area of town? Because Austin is spread out, like everything else in Texas.
Yeah, I have her address. But yeah, that's so interesting. I know, and it's like a whole other world compared to the rest of Texas from what I understand.
It is. It's kind of, they call it like a little blue spot in the big red state, but it's so, Texas in general is super big,
It's
super
huge,
spread
yeah.
out. I live in an area that is kind of north of, it's of Austin proper. Like I'm right on the line between like Austin and Round Rock, Cedar Park. Like I'm in that area. But I mean, Austin is also, like, it's just, if you say Austin, it could be anywhere around
Yeah,
Austin. You know what I
her.
mean?
She lives near Rialto Boulevard.
Rialto.
Her zip code is 78735.
I have to look that up.
Okay.
It's not popping out. It's not popping out to
I'm
me.
terrible with directions, so I
No,
would have
no.
no idea.
It's okay. Yeah, but Austin is a huge place.
Well, that was,
Yeah.
you talk about it being like the little blue area,
Yeah.
and that's like one of the reasons why I haven't gone there, because one of your state senators, well, I'm not, both of your state senators, I'm not a fan of.
Oh
And I've
yeah.
donated money to the people that were going against them. And
Yeah, they
unfortunately,
stretch. Yeah.
yeah. Anyways, I could go on a rant about Mr. Cruz all day long, but his seat is up in this year.
Something has to give. I don't know. They keep like circumventing like justice somehow. I know why and how, but it
Yeah.
has to stop. Yeah.
It's tough and it's unfortunate. But yeah, so that's why whoever, guys listening, whoever you want to vote for, you should vote for, but please register to vote and use
Yeah.
your right to vote, because women were not always allowed to vote, and
Yeah.
you know, I think people take it for granted. So, and so you talk about the work that you do on the social media page. Are you mostly on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you do like Fat Friends Friday, right? And that's where you usually highlight people that you are advocating for mutual
Yes.
aid. And so I think it's so great that you do that. And I myself, I have donated when possible, because I just think it's, and everyone is so sweet and so kind. And I think it creates such a feeling of a community, 'cause I think, you know, when you hear of people in certain situations, and you talk about specifically like what their situation is, what the money could be helped with, and these are like basic things like food, you know, medications, rent, things like that. And I think it makes people feel like not so alone, because, you know, financially a lot of people are struggling right now. It's like a very uncertain time for many of us, and you know, to know that there are people out there who actually care, I think is just, it's sad that we're in this position that basic human rights are things that we are struggling to like achieve and just, you know, live our lives. But I think that it's really great that you do that. And I think like from your page, that was the first time I really heard about this. And so
Wow.
can you talk about how you like was it something that you always kind of knew about? And like what inspired you to kind of get into that part of your advocacy?
You know what? Now that I think about it, I must have met people online. I've always been that kind of person, I would say. Like, I've always had this thing about if I have it,
Yeah.
I'm a person of faith as well. So in my mind, if I have it and we're in community and I know you're, even if I don't, I feel a way about not giving it to you because I have to make a decision that I have something you need and that I have to make a decision as to why I'm not going to. You know, and sometimes that's valid and sometimes I'm spurred on, you know, to do something. And I want that to be something that everybody feels, that sense of empathy and
Yeah.
understanding, and that they check in your soul that says, I need to do something. I think we all have it. I think to some degree, we stifle it because of situations and because of the way the world is, because of how we were raised or our feelings about people, you know. And I just want people to like really investigate those things and like kind of get into the fray, because what's happening is that, as you stated so well, it's whereas before there was a class or a kind of person that had power and privilege that wasn't really touched by this, now we're seeing that everybody, the way that the systems that are in power are affecting or have affected the most marginalized and oppressed people in the past, it's trickling down like to everybody. Everybody's feeling it. And I tell people in my community all the time, unfortunately, no one's coming to help us. So if we're to move into this next phase of humanity, of whatever's going to happen next in the world, you know, with the world powers at war and all these things, We have to look to each other. There's
Yeah.
really no way around that. And it was once a thing that we did in our society, depending on what groups we were raised in. And somehow there's been this, we were kind of like lulled to sleep, like if
Yeah.
you think about here in the United States, there were, times where we did better,
Yeah.
financially, we had more, and we just have this idea that we're always going to be okay. But I think that it's starting to crumble,
Yeah.
and people are becoming more aware of just how volatile things really are, and from week to week or month to month, that things don't necessarily have to always be the same. So we can get a consistent flow of resources between, us, each other individually, especially to the people that need it the very most. And we can like get in the habit, right? And like get in the flow of thinking this way about
Yeah.
everyone, in our world, in our spheres, and even outside of them.
I think that's so important, and I think it's definitely something that I hope that if people aren't familiar with this, that they kind of equate themselves with kind of recognizing the importance of being a kind human, right? Like, I love that you talk about your faith and that's something that's important to you, and that maybe is like an inspirational factor of why you kind of got into this work. And even if you aren't someone of faith, you're just like trying to be a good person, right? I hope we're all just trying to be good people. I just think it's important for us to recognize, like, even if you could give someone a little bit, right? Like $5 or $10, like anything could be helpful. And like one day, God forbid, like you might be in a position where you need assistance. And unfortunately, like you said, the higher ups aren't really doing the work that they're supposed to be doing, which, like, have they ever really been doing it? No, but that's, a conversation for another day. But I love that, and I love that you are a voice for people who don't necessarily have the ability to look for help or ask for help or don't know where to go for help. You spoke a little bit about this idea of like having a care space for people, like how your original idea, and I love that so much. And I think, for many people who maybe haven't lived in a larger size body, they don't understand like the basic concept of like being able to have a robe that feels like it fits you well. And I mean, we're talking about robes here, which are nice, but it goes to the point of like going to the gynecologist and having, the robes there or whatever. I don't know why I can't think of what it's
Medical
called.
gown, I know what you mean.
That like if they don't have sizing above, like an extra large, right? Usually it's like a small size and then like a bigger size. But like, I don't think people recognize like this idea of fat liberation, which I've spoken about on the podcast before, and I would like for us to kind of get maybe a little bit more into that, is that like I'm not just trying to say like, yeah, you should treat people with kindness, which is like a basic given, which I don't think people recognize the lack of the actual dehumanization of people who live in fat bodies, right? Like that, like they're very much so othered. And I talked about this many times in terms of like our healthcare system and how it's not set up to take care of everyone. And if you're someone who lives in a larger body and you go to the doctor because your pinky toe hurts, they're going to find every single reason to go around and say, well, oh, like it's your weight. Like, oh, I came in and I have allergies and my eye's itchy. Oh, wait, it's because of your weight. And it's, I guess like there's a part of it that sometimes like you have to be comical about it because it's so ridiculous and it's like so messed up. And that's kind of my coping mechanism is to like kind of laugh at things that aren't funny, but it's like really disgusting and messed up. And I think the work that you do is so important, and we're going to talk about some of the organizations that you're a part of. But can you kind of do the breakdown of the different levels of fatness or the different I guess levels, right? Is the correct word?
It's we call it like a spectrum of
Mm.
fatness. So it'd be like small fat, and we talk about it in terms of like clothing sizes, because we don't really do numbers. We don't weight, in as far as talking about numbers, is stigmatizing, so we don't really get into that. But we think about torrid. Torrid is like what comes to mind, like
Yeah.
one place, just one place where, you could buy clothes if you're in a larger body. And so, like, we equate like a small fat to like a torrid size zero, then it goes up to mid fat, and then super fat, which you could say is like a Lane Bryant 26, 28 or something like that. And then infinite fat, which is a person like myself, who is usually like a 6X or above at one of those stores, up to no cap, right? Like infinite fat, like up to whatever size is needed. So there are different clothing brands that do make custom sizes based upon your measurements and things like that. There are a handful of those out there in the world. But for the most part, a person in a body like mine cannot go to a store and find clothes that actually, fit me. Cannot go to a hospital and get an MRI. Could not typically get my blood pressure taken at a doctor's office. Like things that are pretty darn important, right? You mentioned roles. I have had doctors, nurses, beautiful, kind nurses, give me two robes to tie together, and kind of make a makeshift double situation. There have been maybe twice in my life times that I've actually had a robe that fit me, depending on the hospital that I went to. There are situations and experiences that people in larger bodies, not even infinite fat bodies, I'd say with regards to the spectrum, maybe super fat, sometimes mid fat bodies that have real issues just functioning in the world, riding on airplanes, going to restaurants, anything that you do as a person that is maybe in a straight size or small size body, that you don't even think about. You take it for granted because when you show up, whatever you need is there. Things are generally created for you and your body. And so you don't really think about it or have that issue unless you are informed by a person who actually has, issues when they show up to a place you would never even know. And so that's why I talk about it so much because, first of all, there are people who, you mentioned it, just don't want to hear about it. Like it pisses them off to consider it because they feel like if you're fat, it's because of some fault of your own. You made the decision to be this fat. There's something you can do about it to change it so that you can be more in line with what is considered or perceived a standard, not even of beauty, but just a standard of humanity, of like how you're supposed to be. But who makes those decisions? Those decisions are made for us, but based on what? And we don't often examine that. We're not often in a position to examine that. And people like myself, and super fat plus bodies, aren't necessarily given the platforms, to talk about those things. It takes a thick skin, because we're harangued, we're harassed, we're threatened. I have a friend right now that lives here in Austin or Austin adjacent that had some people troll, dox her, take drone footage of her home, because she's infinite fat, And how dare an infinite fat person like be confident and talk about what they need and show up in the world without hating themselves? How dare they? Because everything that we see says that we should. So I am here to, for different reasons. Number one, to advocate for people who look like me. And then also to make people aware of the types of things that we experience in our lives. And if they care to help us, to be co-conspirators with us, to help, like actually put their bodies in the way to make change for us, like equip them, right? Like give them tools and things that they can use to be able to share. I do work with ASDA, the Association for Science, Diversity, and Health. I am the advocacy and community leader, also acting as the interim executive director for right now. And as a matter of fact, on Thursday, I'm sorry, on Friday, the, I think that's a Friday, the 12th of April.
Are we in April?
Yes, next Friday. I'm doing a workshop on compassionate care for people in fat bodies for in clinical settings. And I'll be talking about a lot of this stuff. I'll be talking to primarily medical professionals about ways that they can be equipped to give us the care that we need, very basically, you know, from on the website, you know, like representation, like even parking, showing up, can I get through your door? You know, like if I have medical equipment or, you know, access, is your office accessible to me? Can I sit? Do I see myself represented on the walls? Like a lot of people talk big game about, you know, being accessible, but do I see myself? How do you feel when you look at my body? What is your bias? How have you addressed your, investigated your own bias, right? To a person in my body? Because, you know, we don't talk about it enough, but people do feel a way. They'll go so far, but after a while, it's like, do we really want to show someone that looks like that? Like, is that gonna make us marketable?
Mm.
Like, how far will we go, you know? And so it'll be really time to investigate some of those feelings. You talked about gowns, using a thigh cuff, right, for a larger person instead of a regular cuff. I'm having that stuff already prepared because you know I'm coming, you know, using a nun's hat to catch urine instead of a little cup. Like, there's no way, right? There's no way I can give you a urine specimen in a little cup in my body, you know? So, you know, is a toilet on the ground or is it, you know, attached to the wall? Like all these different things that nobody would think about because they just go to the bathroom, right? They just, you know, I just got toilet papers here and I'm just going to do what I do. But what am I experiencing when I go?
Yeah.
You know, and given that type of information, it's crucial to like where we're going from here for fat liberation and for equipping medical professionals to give us the care that we need and really abolish. That's a whole other story, the medical industrial complex as it is right now.
And I think like it's just so, I mean, you seem to be a very positive person. I am not. I mean, I am in many ways, but it feels almost like a drowning battle, you know, like you're swimming upstream and it's like we're not asking for anything special. We're just asking for basic ass treatment, that you could go to the doctor and have your blood pressure taken, that you can go to the doctor and have a medical gown that fits you, that you can, you know, if you have to provide a urine sample, that is accessible. And I think, you know, when you talk about the unfortunate situation with your friend and like the hate that she's getting, and I think that that's something that a lot of people, I've seen this a lot on TikTok more than Instagram. Because it seems like the trolls live on the TikTok and they're openly, outwardly hateful, racist, disgusting people. And I mean, I talk about this all the time where I don't think the average person makes the connection between the hate towards fat people with the fact that it's rooted in racism and white supremacy. And, you know, I have friends who have made content that will stitch the creator who's saying this disgusting thing, and then their video gets taken down.
Of course.
And I'm like, what about the person who says that they wish like literal death to fat people, and they're just stitching it, but the original video isn't taken down? I just think it's just insane to me.
It takes an amazing amount. What I found, because I almost quit like early on because of that. Things like Oprah and Ozempic and even this, I don't know if you heard much about it, but this, what do they call it? Obesity Bill of Rights that is in play right now, where you have all these organizations signing on to say that, Obesity is a disease, and fat people need help. It
Mm-hmm.
looks good on the face, right? Like,
Yeah.
we need to stop being so mean to fat people because they have a disease, whatever. But all it does is stigmatize, our bodies all over again, right? Like, it's the BMI all over again. And so, those are the type of things that make me want to be like, oh gosh. Because, like, every time, I won't even say we make headway because it's not even about us making
Yeah.
headway. It's like every time I get like a grasp on, okay, this is the direction I can go to talk about this now, something weird pops up, like this stuff with all these people signing on and, people with such influence and power. But the thing that keeps me going, number one, like I said in the beginning, it's a selfish endeavor. I need these things for myself. But I am in the field, right? Like,
Yeah.
I am getting the messages and the communication from people who are like, I really needed to hear this. And that matters to me. Like, that
Yeah.
really matters to me. I have a friend, actually a couple of folks that one day I was like, I'm just gonna make us a little group chat for us, just for us, right? It's a couple of people, a couple of non-binary folks, black, fat. We both are all just dealing with medical stuff. A couple of them had just gotten out of the hospital, as a matter of fact. And I was like, you know what? This is the type of thing that we need support in, a very specific type of support. Because when you're a black, fat person and you get sick, even yourself, you're like, you know what? I need to lose weight. Because when I go to the doctor's going to tell me you're sick because you're too fat. Everywhere I look, everything I see, everything I hear is I'm sick because I'm too fat. You need some voice in your head saying, don't accept it. Because there are people who are in bodies that aren't as big as you are that are going through exactly what you're going
Yeah.
through. Right? And there are people who are in bodies as large as yours that have found ways to move, ways to eat, ways to live that make them feel better. Right? So who's to
Yeah.
say that you have to accept that you'll never feel good again because of the way your body is or the size of your body? Don't believe that lie. Don't believe it. And advocate for yourself. Say what you need. I'm here to remind people, if you need a walker or a rollator, tell your community. Tell the people who support you. Tell the people who are in your sphere. Tell the people who, have seen you do all these things and watched you struggle. Don't be ashamed. And that's the biggest thing for me. The shame.
Yeah.
That's why the craze for Ozempic and
Yeah.
Lizzo trying to lose weight after all, and
Yeah.
all these people who have succumbed to the pressure. I don't fault them.
Of course
I
not.
know. I understand. Who wouldn't? Who would choose, right? To like, if there was a way out, as angry as I am with these influencers like turning code and like doing the stupid stuff, I get it, right? The pressure.
Was
But I still, even in my body, like, and with all the things that I suffer with and struggle with, and the things I tell myself and thoughts and all these, I still believe the truth.
yeah.
And I'm still gonna talk about it. I don't care who, I don't care what peer-reviewed journal, article you could share with me about why obesity is and this. I can give you one for why my CHF is not because I'm fat. I have CHF because I spent years in my black fat body fighting, always.
Yeah.
And I forgive myself for the times that I hated myself because of the body that I'm in. Because it's my body and it's a beautiful body, it's a worthy body, it's what's been given to me. And I own it fully. I have my days, I have my struggles, but it is my beautiful body. And I just can't not be that. in my life and in other people, whatever that is, whatever the moment calls for. I told my friend, I was like, you need a role. And it's like, I'm ashamed to want have a role later, but I can't walk across this campus. It hurts too bad. Like, we choose pain because of shame. You don't have to. You don't have to. It doesn't matter what those thick people think about you. I know we don't have the privilege to just be in our bodies and show up however we want to, because there are people that have things that we need. But the more we can practice it, right? And the more that we can ask for the things that we need. I have a friend that is amazing creator, and they're like, I gotta travel. But it's like, tell them you want two air plane seats. Tell them that they need to have a mobile electric wheelchair, whatever, waiting for you when you get off that plane. You tell them. You tell them, because they want you. But if you don't say it ever, you're not going to get what you need.
I think, you bring up obviously everything that you said was so important. And I think like that's why I keep talking like this is the point of this work and why it's so important, right? We're talking about basic ass shit. Like I'm breaking it down a very complex, painful, sad, disgusting thing that people have to deal with, but like it's just basic ass shit. That's just, and like I said, society has very much so othered individuals in this position and has ostracized them and is making people feel like it's like, yeah, I wake up every single day and I say like I'm gonna be a fat person today. Like out of all the choices of all the things, I could have been an astronaut, but no, I sat here and decided like I wanted to live in a larger body. And I mean, as someone who has spent most of their life actively shrinking, trying to shrink their body. I mean, I knew that my body was not okay, that there was something wrong with me from when I was 7 years old. And I remember actively restricting and knowing, oh, wait, like I'm not gonna have a snack after school, or I'm not gonna eat this meal. And then I would get praised for it as a child. And I know my experience is not the only person who's ever experienced this, but I do talk about it because I think it's important for people to recognize like we're not just talking about, being afraid to eat two cookies, right? Because that's what a lot of the quote unquote intuitive eating people talk about. Oh, it's okay to have a little sweet treat.
No.
What if I want to eat the whole sleeve of cookies? What does that mean? Is that okay? Or is that not okay? And I would argue it depends. Like, are you eating enough other stuff? Are you getting enough calories throughout the day, Or is it just like a decision? You're like, yeah, this is what sounds good to me right now, and that's fine too. But and that's why I really like distanced myself from that community because it's just another whitewashed health.
It is, and it causes a lot of confusion because every decision is nuanced. And as we recently had a interview with the Examiner slash Washington Post, I think it was, and we were talking about this person. They do like this case study of this person who was using Haze and gained a lot of weight, and they were complaining about how they were looking, listen to these influencers. They were talking about them, telling them to eat intuitively, and they ate too much, and they gave it. And it's like, one of the major things is that every person's different. Like the biggest, the hugest, I think, issue with a person deciding that a person is fat based on their perceptions of what causes fatness is that they take it, and that's what, like, our whole society is built on that. The diet industry is built on that. You do these things and you get skinny, right? But if you do these things, you get fat, because that's just how the body works, and that's just how it is. And that's not true. Like, there's so many reasons and factors and things that go into why a person's size is what it is, and it doesn't all boil down to the people on, my 600-pound life and what they do and their habits. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a polarizing situation, and it makes it harder for people like us to have these conversations because of the bias that's
Yeah.
so entrenched in our society around people's bodies. You
Yeah.
know, the policing of them, beauty standards, like you said, racism, the inextricable connection between, you know, racism and fat phobia, and it's just there's so much work to do, but we can't even do that if we don't talk about it
Yeah.
the way that we need to. We don't have those conversations the way that we need to.
And you talk about Lizzo, right? And I think, and I did an episode a few weeks ago talking about my thoughts. I did watch the Oprah special, and I don't even like saying the Oprah special, but that's what everyone calls it. But I made it very clear when I first started recording it, because I did a live and then it didn't save, and then at that time everyone was getting kicked off Instagram, and so that's why I did the episode. And I was like, my issue has nothing to do with Oprah. Oprah could do whatever she wants with her body. If this is what she wants to do, God bless her. My issue is with who is profiting off of this medication. Who's profiting? Is it are is it these people who are unfortunately being praised for having a disordered eating habit? I mean, I had so many people in my DMs who are on the medication, who were are embarrassed to talk about it because there's a quote unquote stigma attached to it. And people are admitting that they're sick throughout the day, that they're throwing up, that they're having uncontrollable diarrhea, but they feel it's worth it because it's making them lose weight. And it breaks my heart and it makes me so sad because I understand that desperation, like you said.
The links will go to.
But at the same time, what I really didn't like about the special was that it veiled the idea of accepting people, like knowing that the idea of quote unquote obesity is not a person's individual fault. But then they're making it sound like, but there's still something wrong with you. And this medication is what fixes it. And I'm like, and at the end of the day, who's making this money? These, if if there was a research that looked at this medication for intentional weight loss, and we saw that it was the magic cure for everything, right? 20-year study, everything's safe, people are happy, there's no bad side effects that, you might not lose your pancreas or, end up in the hospital and losing, having to have surgery because you're so compacted, because you're so constipated, because your GI tract is so slowed down. Maybe I would have a different opinion on it. And again, like I said on the special and like I said on Instagram, I want people to do what they want to do. My opinion, I'm not your dietitian, has nothing to do with it. Do I think that using this medication to treat eating disorders and disordered eating is very dangerous? Yes, I do. And that's like a blatant statement. And if, I mean, I've had patients of mine that have wanted to go on the medication, but if you're in an active eating disorder, I think that it is harmful as like a healthcare professional. I don't think that it's going to be helpful. But I think that these companies are making this medication and it's not accessible, right? Like that's a big part of it. Insurance companies are not covering most of these medications for quote unquote obesity. But if it's so amazing, then why aren't they covering it for it? Why? Because who can afford it? Wealthy people can afford it. And what ends up happening, and I said this on the special, is that okay, let's say you get prescribed one of the ones that are covered by insurance. There's a few of them. But you're no one in any pharmacy has it accessible because it's being so prescribed. So then your doctor prescribes you off-label Ozempic or Mounjaro, and your insurance doesn't cover it, but you're willing to pay $1,000 a month for it. So now you're taking it away from someone who has type 2 diabetes that needs this medication. And that's like, that's my issue. And not even just that, but I've seen on TikTok doctors doing lives.
saying, oh, I could get you this medication through a compound pharmacy and it's only $200 a month. And I'm like, how the hell is this allowed? Like, it is, and it's just, I just see constantly what I eat in the day on Ozempic, what I eat in the day down 56 pounds on Mounjaro. And it's like the obsession with the weight is my issue. And I said this as well on the episode, and I'm just reiterating it because I think it's important. I don't want people to think that I'm just like hating on it. Listen, like I said, everyone's allowed to do whatever the hell they want as long as you're not
It's
harming.
about bodily autonomy and informed consent. Like,
Exactly.
it has to be, yes.
And so on the show, the episode, this whatever it was, all they focused on was the before and afters.
That's
It was like a
disgusting.
Jenny Craig commercial. It wasn't, listen, show me lab values.
Yeah.
Show me, oh, this person, yeah, they happen to lose weight, but now their diabetes is in remission and their hemoglobin A1C is down and within normal limits. Show me the lab values. No, all they cared about was, oh, how does it feel now that you can go into any store and buy something? And that is what I think is disgusting about it, because you're talking about not dehumanizing people who live in larger size bodies. But you literally are shitting on fat people the whole time.
Yeah.
And there was this one woman who was on one of the medications, ended up so sick. She was throwing up every day. She went into the hospital. She was dehydrated. She stopped the medication. And Oprah goes, well, are you going to try another one of them to see if they work for you? Yeah. And the lady was like, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. And I'm like, this lady ended up in the hospital, which is expensive, even if you have good health insurance. And you're like this, and that's the part that I think a lot of people don't recognize, the harm that this narrative has played and continues to perpetuate. So, like you said, and you did a live, like a quick live, after the thing. I didn't catch the live, but I watched the replay. And it just like you said, like it's just making it that much harder for people to do this work. And it's sad.
As a black woman of a certain age, I'm 50. Oprah was like a huge thing. And I know a lot of women my age and even younger would say this, that coming up, in the throes of my own disordered eating and dysfunctional family and all the things that so many of us have experienced, Oprah was a big deal for us. And I will admit that seeing her, those years ago, when she pulled that fat out on the in the red wagon, and like that does something to you in the culture. When your dad is telling you to lose weight, my dad lost a whole bunch of weight when I was young. He hated being fat and like just started restricting and like ex over exercising. Like, but that time I didn't call it that, right? I was like, my dad is doing something major. Like, my mom was fat, and it was like a storm in the house all the time because my mom was like, I'm not doing that. And my dad was like, if you don't do it, you're going to be sick. And you're going to be the things he said, and kind of spoke over her. And I'm watching this. I'm like a little kid, like watching this, tennis match of like these volleys of insult and pain. And I remember my mom, I didn't realize until maybe a few years ago that my mom was going to get B12 shots and, doing all these things to try to like please, my dad. But after a while, she just was like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. And so you have this context of, Oprah's and Jenny Craig and this place called Elaine Towers, which is kind of like a women's world where women used to go to exercise and you see them like with the vibrating, stuff, like jiggling their fat. And I used to go with my mom, to Elaine Towers. And so like this played into, my disorder, like as I got older and grew up. And there was always the Oprah, in different iterations of herself, kind of appearing, fat and color purple, and then losing weight, and then gaining weight, and always making it a power. Oprah, billionaire, At that time, multi-millionaire, movie star, mobile. If she thinks it's a priority, I should too, right? And I know it's not just me, but I identified with her, and so for her to be like knocking on, I don't know, 70 something, whatever how old she is, to like still prioritize this so much, it's just so sad. Look
It is.
at your life,
Yeah.
right? Like your life, your legacy is going to be boiled down to how much weight you lost, right? Like, that's the sad part about it all to me. And the thing that every day I learn more about is and the unlearning, right? And the really deeply investigating our culture and my place, my thoughts about myself, my thoughts about other folks in this work and outside of it, my thoughts about people who I have feelings about Black folks who talk about racial justice and never talk about fatness because, like you said, you can't separate those, right? So I got beefs, like
Yeah.
with the people that are like really dying on all these hills and never mention the othering of people in the largest bodies, So, yeah, that all that is ever present, but I'm really frustrated at the things that are happening right now in these realms that are really like setting us back. Like you read
Yeah.
Mikey's article, like
Yeah.
it was hard to read, but honestly, and even for her to not, I mean, I know she's always kind of watching and always working, but
Yeah.
like she's seeing what's happening and it's true. It's really true. And I feel like it's going to take those of us who still care and still remember and still understand to like talk about it, to share about it, to deeply investigate and do, more research and just keep it, at the forefront, keep it present and talk about it all the time because we got to carry this shift that's happening. We got to carry it over into whatever's happening next. A movement. I know I have a client slash partner in Power Up Movement Company, and we're talking a lot about reclaiming movement for people in
Yeah.
larger bodies because of what it's meant to us and how that keeps us from moving, how we become so dissociated in our bodies and feel like what's the use and it hurts too much and like just the ways that we can begin to feel ourselves and remember ourselves again outside of the guise of weight loss,
Yeah.
and moving to change our bodies in that way. All that we need to talk about that as much as we can, as often as we can.
I think that's obviously such an important part of this idea of fat liberation is that everyone should be allowed to move their bodies in a joyful manner without having to worry about, oh, how many calories this is or this or that. And the lack of accessibility that people in larger sized bodies have to being able to move their bodies. I mean, I talk about this in the gym a lot. I'm someone who loves to lift weights. There are a lot of times that in between machines, I'm squeezing my ass through because there's like this much room. And, the person who sets up the gym, like they don't really think about these types of things, but it's like me as someone who is on the lower spectrum of the fat spectrum, if I'm experiencing these barriers, and like thankfully I'm in a place where like my sister was a personal trainer. She trained me for many years. I know what I'm doing. I know where to go. But like if I was just walking straight into that place, A, the vultures come for you, right? 'Cause they this is why I stopped going many years ago to LA Fitness, which is like a popular chain gym,
We have them here.
because it was like they just were coming straight up to me. And I'm like, I haven't seen you go up to anyone. And I got into a fight with one of the managers because I was like, you're clearly targeting someone. And it's like, I don't care. Let me shit on them because it's like you're making people feel awkward. Like, let people do what the hell they want. If you know, the first time you want to come up, you see a new person, you want to introduce yourself. Hi, if you have any questions. Oh, like, oh, why are you, what are you here for? Oh, you're trying to lose weight for summer? No, bitch, I'm just here to lift weights. Like, leave me alone. And I kind of get mean, and I don't really think I'm that much of a mean person, but I get very like on edge about it because it's like so unnecessary. And so, like I said, like if someone who is in an even larger size body than me, how are they supposed to get on these machines that aren't even made for women, first of all, right? And their configurations are not made for everyone. And I get it, like you can't make a machine, one machine that's like gonna be for everyone, but at least like have some options for people so that they feel comfortable to come in here and start to like, maybe lifting weights sounds fun to some people. Like for me, like I'm not a cardio person. Like it's just not my thing. It's of course important to do cardiovascular workouts for your heart health, right? Unrelated to anything else. But, you know, like you said, like reclaiming movement and people, like a lot of the things that I see on, and I refer to TikTok because I do consume a lot of content on there, is like you'll have like a person, a fat person working out, and then you get all this hate, like, oh, clearly this isn't working. And it's always usually a white man who's saying this shit, or it's like a troll who has no picture. And it's like, why do you care if this person is working out? Whether, like, what is it to you? Why are you so angry that you have to go onto someone's page and say some mean shit? For what? Like, so you don't want fat people to be fat. You don't want fat people to work out. You don't want companies to make inclusive sizing for workout wear for people to work out. Like, it's just insane to me. So I'm like, so
They
what's
just
the.
hate fat people.
Exactly.
They
That's what it
just
gets.
hate fat people. And there will never be any amount of enough that will be adequate for them to not hate fat people. Because our society, no matter how you slice it, no matter how many obesity bill of rights there are, how many Queen Latifahs or Oprahs that come out and say, leave fat people alone because they can't help it, because obesity is a disease. No matter how much of that you have, or on the other end, people like me that said, I'm fat, get over it. There will always be people, because of the way our society is set up, that hate you because fatness is a moral failing. It is a sign of laziness, stupidity. If you're fat, you don't matter. You're invalid, and you are the worst of the worst. Being fat is worse than being mentally, challenged or disabled, to an extent that, people consider, whatever. It's the absolute worst thing you can be. And I think that, as pissed off as that makes me, it helps me. It makes my skin thicker, because it is what it is, right? Like, I'd rather someone, it's just like being black, I'd rather someone be straight up racist to me and like tell me they hate me than to get me in a situation and then use their hatred against me to harm me, right? If I know you hate fat people because you hate fat people, and that's a thing to do because this whole society says you should, because everything, everywhere we go, every television commercial, everything that influences, every outside stimulation or whatever that influences our brain tells us that fat is wrong. It would make sense that idiots thrive and do that. Doesn't make it right. It just makes it our reality. So I operate that way. I try to be as safe. I talk to people a lot about safety for fat people online. A friend of mine got her bank account. There's this website. I won't even say the name because they're not even worth it. But on the site, she named them, and they attacked her. They gave her a cyber attack. They attacked her finances. Went and charged a bunch of stuff through Apple on her account, cleared it out. Because she dared to name them, and she's fat. Those are the type of people that we're dealing with. There are people who were taking, when a friend of mine passed away, due to blood clots after traveling from Africa, who was super fat, they were wagering. They have a list of people. They're wagering on when they die. That's heinous, right?
That's
But
disgusting.
that is what fat people have to deal with.
Yeah.
That's on the spectrum of the horror that we have to deal with. And I understand that. And I've accepted that. I've made myself, try to make myself as safe as possible. I've taken my name offline. I locked my credit reports, like literally, because I know that that comes with this territory, And if I'm going to keep doing this, I got to keep my head on the swivel and be vigilant, but really look for other people to help support me in that, Because it's hard. It's hard. That on top of all things we talked about earlier about just like functioning and then doing this work in light of all that is fighting us to do it. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. But I do believe it's my purpose. I just want to talk quickly about a couple of other organizations we talked about
Yes,
earlier
please.
that I'm working with.
I would love to for you to speak about the other organizations that you're involved with so that we can bring attention to them, and we will link all social media handles in the show notes so everyone can go and take a look, give them a follow, obviously give Angel a follow.
Project Heal, I'm really, really excited to be part of. Honestly, going into it, I was a part of Body Reborn, which was a nonprofit that kind of was absorbed in a way by Project Heal because the leadership is Akira is the new executive director of Project Heal. So as a result of that, I was on the board of Body Reborn and just kind of transferred over to Project Heal. They had an existing board, which has changed a lot since we came on. But mainly their work is to provide eating disorder support for people who generally don't have access to it because of the cost. And they've been doing that work for a long time, and it's kind of taken on a new life with the new leadership. So we just had our first board meeting, so we will see exactly what that means
Oh, that's
going
so
forward.
exciting.
Yes, it's different. It's tricky, and I want to be careful when I say this because I don't know if you know about the world of nonprofits, but it's an interesting world. It's an interesting
Yeah.
world, and I'll just say that it's important to stay true to your art. It's important for us to stay true to our ethos. Any individual, right? But when you're working with a board or you're working with a group of folks, you really want to, prioritize values, and it gets tricky because of capitalism
Yeah.
and because of all the money that it takes to provide these services. And so I'm learning that across the board, not just Project Heal, but across the board. That's always like a really tricky dance you do
Yeah.
with trying not to piss people off, but also need the money that they have to. And we're always actively working to move the needle and to change that, right? Because it's capitalism, it's white
Yeah.
supremacy, right? So, but it is what it is. And one thing I learned since working with ASDA and now with Project Heal is that you're always having to work within the confines of capitalism. That's the world we live in. But always forever dreaming of a day where people get what they need because they're
Yeah.
human and not because of any external value or, whatever, back scratching or whatever is necessary to get these things done. And we're not there yet, but we're
Yeah.
always trying to, always thinking of and dreaming of those times. Another organization that I'm a part of that probably is not as well known is Me Little Me Foundation. It is the brainchild of Elizabeth Aiko, who is she's Canadian by, well, she's from living in Canada, but she's African, and I forget the other, of immigrant descent, right? And she had an eating disorder while she was making a movie. She's a movie director, and she was like an amazing creator of films. And she had an eating disorder and didn't have money for food. And while she was trying to heal, right? And vowed that whenever she got to a place of healing and like a more stable, place financially, she could create an organization for people who are like her we didn't have food. So we have our main project is a virtual food pantry. So the way it works is we have people that are donating funds on a regular basis so that we can give 100 to individuals and $200 in food to a family. And the way it works is you find like a local grocery store that has like delivery options and go in and like get your order together, and then Elizabeth actually places the order, pays for the food, and have it delivered to your door.
That's
So,
amazing.
so
Well, we
we're
will link all of that. I haven't heard of that organization, which that makes me sad, but thank you so much for shedding light on it. And we will link the website as well, because I think, food is a basic human right. And nobody in this world, especially this country, should ever go hungry or not have access to food, because it's so prevalent, and the amount of the food waste is insane. It's disgusting. So we will definitely link that as well.
Yes. We also, I just want to say real quickly, we also
Yeah,
have
of course.
with the organization, we have something called the Black Trauma Support Group. So every other Sunday we meet, and it literally is not like any formality or anything. We just log in and show up and talk about what's giving us trauma or what's making us happy or whatever it is. It's just for Black folks, and it's for us to be able to just find community and support each other. And that's every other Sunday. If you link to my sacred space, I'll give you the link for this as well. But it's just a Zoom meeting that we have every other Sunday. But all of these things I think can be found in my link tree under Sacred Space for Our Bodies
We'll
as
share
well.
that as well. Did we talk about all the organizations that you wanted to?
Yes, as the Project Heal and Me Little Me.
Lovely. Angel, thank you so much for spending this time. It was, all of my episodes and all of the guests that I have on are important, but I feel like this is a really special one. So I really appreciate you sharing everything
Man,
with us.
I'm so glad. And like we said earlier, there's so much to talk about. So if you ever want me to come back and talk about
We're going to
anything,
schedule our next, because I would love that. And I think there's just still so much more. So thank you so much for everything. Guys, please go to the show notes. If you can support any of the organizations, please do so. We'll have everything in the show notes. Thank you guys for listening. Angel, thank you again.
course.
And I will see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. A special thanks to Angel for recording this amazing episode with me. I am so excited to have you back on in a few weeks. Thank you guys again for listening, and I will see you guys for the next episode. Bye.